Triumphant Republicans and dejected Democrats are poring over the results of yesterday's surprising midterm elections. Republicans did much better than expected, taking control of the Senate and defying historical trends by picking up at least 4 seats in the House. The GOP claimed the vote was a referendum on a popular wartime president. Democrats are trying to figure out what went wrong. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
Here's how Democratic strategist Rachel Gorlin felt when she woke up today.
Well, this is kind of like Christmas morning after Santa Claus has shown up and collected a bunch of your toys and taken them back up the chimney. But, you know, there's always another day.
Democrats didn't expect to do as poorly as they did. They lost control of the Senate with stinging defeats in Georgia, Missouri, and Minnesota. Patty Murray is the chairman of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, and she had this explanation.
The Republicans had the advantage of running on the coattails of a Republican president with the highest approval rating in modern history and a president who spent an unprecedented amount of time campaigning. We were outspent. Ultimately, we could not compete with the power of the bully pulpit and a wartime president.
Democrats were counting on the weakening economy to help them, as it has helped opposition parties in the past. But Nita Lowey, the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, admitted it didn't.
9/11 changed the conventional wisdom about midterm elections. Thus far, voters have concluded that 9/11 caused the economic downturn we're dealing with now. Voters just haven't blamed the Republicans for the economy yet.
Republicans say the key factor was George W. Bush, who traveled the country for Republican candidates in the last weeks of the race. Ed Goas is a Republican political consultant.
Many people are giving the president credit where credit is due because he was willing to put his name on the line to go out there and campaign very hard for candidates all across the country. But he also created an environment with the high job approval he had, not only on national defense issues and the war on terrorism, but he was in the mid-50s on handling the economy and many other issues.
Goas's clients included Sonny Perdue, who became the first Republican in Georgia since Reconstruction to win the governorship. Mr. Bush won Georgia in 2000 and campaigned there repeatedly this fall, but Republicans also scored upsets in states that didn't vote for the president in 2000. Mike Murphy, another Republican consultant, worked for Mitt Romney, who exceeded expectations by winning the governor's race in heavily Democratic Massachusetts.
I think the president's popularity is working everywhere, but there is a big New England story here with Rhode Island, with New Hampshire, Massachusetts, all the way down to Maryland, where Republican gubernatorial candidates are doing really well, and I think it's a strong sign that people see our party as better fiscal managers and the breath of fresh air in some of these states. And now, both at the national level and in a lot of these state houses, we have to deliver the goods. We've got the power, now we got to do something with it.
And in the Senate, where it takes 60 votes to pass almost anything, that could be difficult. President Bush, who had promised to change the tone in Washington and reach across the aisle for allies, spent this fall campaigning to defeat the very Democrats who voted with him on big tax cuts and the war against Iraq. Democrats like Max Cleland, Gene Carnahan, and Tim Johnson. The chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Terry McAuliffe, made it clear that as his party turns its attention to the next election, Democrats are not inclined to help the president.
As we look ahead to 2003, the question for President Bush is, what now? The president got what he asked for last night, and now he will have to produce. No more blame game, no more nonsense about a dysfunctional Senate. This is his sputtering economy. He must take responsibility for it.
But first, Democrats have to figure out what they did wrong this cycle. Rachel Gorlin believes the Democrats were not aggressive enough. She says her party should have embraced a proposal that would have rolled back parts of the president's tax cut to pay for other priorities. Throughout this cycle, polls showed voters giving the Democrats an advantage on important domestic issues like health care, Social Security, and prescription drugs. But, says Gorlin, there's a difference between having an advantage and using that advantage.
I don't think we're really used to the concept of how to be in opposition and how you pose alternatives and what that requires. What it requires, first and foremost, is a coherent vision of what you would do differently, not simply cherry-picking this vote or that vote. It's got to be a whole view of what different approach to, for example, the securities markets and protecting investors and protecting people's pensions. Voters never heard that.
Undecided voters waited till the very last minute this year to make up their minds. There wasn't much movement in the polls at all in the last month. But in the last several days, there was a small but sufficient shift to the Republicans. Gorland believes voters were holding off on their decisions, waiting to see something from the Democrats that never came. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.